All right, so when we're in Matthew, am I even on? I am on, right? Okay, so I guess I'm on. Matthew 27, we're going to start out in verse 15 through 21. I should go where I had my page marked. Right. Elena, would you like to read that? Yep, 15 through 21.
Now at the feast, the governor was accustomed to release...
24? Chapter 24? Did I say 27? I'm sorry. I could have sworn in my head I said 24. 15 through 21. Still that. That's right.
So when you see the abomination of desolation spoken by the prophet Daniel standing in the holy place, let the reader understand. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let the one who is on the housetop not go down to take what is in his house. And let the one who is in the field not turn back to take his cloak. And alas, for women who are pregnant and for those who are nursing. Pray that your flight may not be in winter or on the Sabbath. For then there will be a great tribulation such as has not been from the beginning of the world until now. No, and never will be.
All right, so we start off and there's three places in Daniel. That's what Jesus is talking about the abomination of desolation. There's three places which it talks about that. It's in 9:27, 11:31, and 12:11. And it says, whoever reads, let him understand. So for any of you who have ever asked the question, why do I need to go to school? Here's the answer right here. Learn, you know, it's knowledge, it's learning. But we're going to read those in Daniel. That's kind of a joke. If you have to explain your jokes, they're not funny, but Daniel, chapter 9, 27. TJ, would you like to read that?
I'm not there anymore.
You lost it. And just a little bit. We're going to be in Daniel for those, so just keep your finger in Matthew, but be in Daniel.
Then he shall confirm a covenant with me for 1 week, but in the middle of the week he shall bring an end to sacrifice and offering, and on the wing of abomination shall be one who makes desolate. Even until the consummation, which is determined, is poured out on the desolate.
And then 11:31. Kayla? And then 12:11, Brendan.
And from the time that daily sacrifice is taken away, the abomination of desolate is set up. There shall be 1,200 men.
All right, so this little history is that in 167 BC, so what does BC stand for?
Before Christ,
right. A Greek gentleman, he was named Antius, something like that. Terrible about pronunciation. The fourth, huh?
That's a weird last name, something like that.
So he conquered Jerusalem, right? And the temple was in Jerusalem. And he disgraced the temple by setting this altar up to Zeus, one of his fake gods, right? And he sacrificed a pig, not very kosher for Jews, right? They don't do pork. So, but he sacrificed a pig in the temple. So was this the abomination of desolation Jesus was talking about? A lot of people at the time, before Jesus was even born, was thinking, yeah, this has to be what Daniel was talking about. Because he made this mockery in the temple. But, like I said, this was before Jesus was born. Right? So about 200 years before Matthew 24. So this wasn't the abomination of desolation Jesus was talking about. Then again, in 70 AD, AD being after death, right? Titus, a Roman, destroyed and burnt the temple. We probably learned about this last week, right? About, no stone being set upon itself. And he also put up fake idols, mocking the Jews. Now, when this happened, when Titus destroyed the temple, all of the Christians, believing that it was the end time, they did exactly what Jesus told them to do. They went to the mountains. They went out of the city, leaving everything behind. But in Daniel 27, it states that he will confirm a covenant with many for 1 week. So he's going to be coming, this person what sets up this abomination of desolation, he's coming with a peace treaty, saying that, I want peace. So he deceives and lies to many talking about peace, but in his heart is war. So this Antiochus, and Titus, everybody knew they meant war. When they were coming in, they knew that they meant war. They were just going there to conquer from the beginning. So the Antichrist is the one Jesus is talking about. He's referring to the Antichrist because he's the one who's going to try to come and deceive in this time of tribulation. He's going to come in there and try to deceive and lie to people and talk about peace. Now, a lot of scholars as you probably learned from the chart, Buzz, believes there's a 7-year tribulation, right? In Daniel, we're going to do a little bit of math. Sorry, I'm going to try to go through it quick so it's not boring. But in Daniel 12:11, how many days does it say? 1,299 days. So if we put that into years, it is 3.5 years and 13 days, right? Now, calendars have changed since Daniel. That might allow for 13 years. Or Daniel just didn't want to say, it's 3.5 years plus 13 days. I'm not sure. So it's 3.5 years, right? So he's talking about until the abomination of desolation, it's 3.5 years. So in Daniel 9:27, it says 1 week. And then midway is 1,290 days, a full week would be, I wasn't doing the math, but it'd be 7 years, right? So 3.5 years midway, so that means another 3.5 years. So 7 years plus 26 days, if you want to be technical. Now, why did they keep the days as days and not change the week, change the week into years? Anybody knows? I didn't think so because I wouldn't have known either. But King James Bible, the King James, not the New King James, but the King James Bible, was translated in 1611. So that was a little bit long ago, right? I mean, did they talk the exact same as we talk now? Probably not. There's, we can find words in the Bible that aren't commonly used today. Right? It's kind of like the word score. Score can mean a lot of different things, right? Scoring hoops, scoring a whole bunch of different things. But it also can refer to 20 of something, 20 of a certain item.
20 years,
exactly. You know, Lincoln's famous Gettysburg Address, 67 years ago. What do you think that means? 87 years ago. Right. No, you did awesome. You did awesome. So 67 years ago means 87 years. Right? The word week refers to 7 of something. 7 days, 7 years. Right? Does that make sense? Now, we always, right now, we go week. Oh, that's a week, 7 days. But back then, there's a week is just 7 of something. You know, and 7 of something, 7 years, is the time of a great tribulation. Now, no matter what Tony the Tiger says, great doesn't always mean good. Right? Before World War II, World War I was called the Great War. It was called the Great War because it was big, huge, encompassed the whole world, and nobody thought there would ever be a war as huge as that until World War II. So you see what I'm saying? Sometimes the words, we have to look, really dive into the Bible when we're looking at it. Sometimes words, the way they translated it, you know, they mean the same, but they could have meaning. So we have to just kind of look at those certain things. Back in Matthew 27, verse 22. Matthew 24, verse 22. Did I say 27? There must be something very important on 27 I'm missing. That's what I'm thinking. 27. Haley, would you like to read that?
Excuse me.
22. Yep, 22. Okay. So rough times. They seem like they last forever, don't they? Seem like they drag on. It's like, oh, when is this don't ever end? But even though rough times might seem like they drag on, it doesn't mean God leaves us. Now, my translation, the New King James, it says, for the elect. And Haley's translation made it more simple. It's the elect are the believers in Christ, the believers in Jesus. For elect's sake, the days have been shortened. It just means that, you know, each day isn't less time. It just means that the amount of time, that 7 years, if it would go on any longer than that, there would be nobody left. So Jesus still, even though there's a great tribulation, still has mercy on us. And you get that from that. In Matthew 24, 23 through 28, that includes 27. Forget that. Huh? Ha. I am horrible. I feel horrible. I really do. I want it's McKay, no. Not Michaela. Something like Hawaiian-ish.
Yes.
Right? Yeah. It's Kalula, Kinyala. Huh? Kiana. Kiana? You think? Okay. Are you sure? Kiana. Kiana, Kiana,
Kiana, Kiana. So if anyone says to you, look, here is the Christ, or there, do not believe it, for false Christ and false prophets will rise and show great signs and wonders to deceive. If possible, even the elect, see, I have told you beforehand. Therefore, if they go, they say to you, look, he is the desert, do not go out, or look, he is the inner room, do not believe it, for as the light comes from the east and flashes to the west, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. For whatever the
carcass
is, there the eagles will be greater together.
All right. So Jesus is telling us there's going to be a lot of false prophets. And they're going to be everywhere. Right, they're going to be everywhere. And why is Jesus warning us about this? Why do you think he's warning us about this? What happens when you see a warning sign or a caution sign? You follow it, yeah. You obey, right? So if you see a caution sign, what are you supposed to do when you're driving?
Be careful.
So it prepares you, right? It tells you to slow down. Be preparedful. Be preparedful. I need a new word. you are prepared for what's coming up, right? So he's warning us so that we will be prepared. He's warning us so that we seek the truth now so we won't fall into a trap of deception. The NIV is the New International Version of the Bible, translates the word eagles to vultures. And it makes more sense to me in my brain, is wherever the carcasses is, there's vultures will gather together. Now, we've all seen that, whether it's in cartoons or movies. You know, you see a vulture, there's probably something dead underneath. So what that means is that it's kind of like blood in the water, you know, sharks are attracted to, right? So there are people out there who would turn to the evil side way too easy. When they see somebody else getting away with something or they're making a profit on somebody else's expense, you know, they jump in. So it's telling us that there's going to be all kinds of false prophets because other people don't see false prophets, they don't make false prophets. So we need to be prepared for that. We need to be watching for that. Because the Son of Man, Jesus' second coming, is going to be like lightning in the sky. You know what happens when the lightning is in the sky? I mean, you can see it for miles, right? It's clear and it's open all to see. It's not hidden. It's not over there. You could see it happening. Right, and Jesus, it's going to be like, okay, Jesus is back. Right, we're all going to know when that actually happens. Matthew 24, 29 through 31. Yes. So when it seems all is lost and the storm is getting worse, Jesus will be there. He will be there. Then all the tribes of the earth will mourn. Why do you think they won't be mourning? Because they didn't believe. Because they'll know Jesus is real, right? Because right then, they'll know that, okay, I didn't believe, I sinned, right? And then obviously the ones who believe will be like, yeah, I told you so, right? Maybe not, because we're supposed to be walking in love, right? So everybody will know that there's one true God. You know, they'll know their sin, and they'll pray. I'm sure they'll be on their knees begging Jesus to know them. However, he is only going to know the elect. And who's the elect? The people who believe in him, people who love him. In Matthew 7, keep your finger in 24, we're not done there yet. But Matthew 7, 21 through 23. Elena.
Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do many mighty works in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you, depart from me, you workers of God.
You know, there's a point, you know, I mean, you could say, oh, well, that sounds harsh. But, you know, I mean, it's not Jesus denying them. They denied Jesus. You know, Jesus will save and protect those who love him. And we're back in 24, 32, and 33. TJ, can you read that? So, we could always see spring coming on, right? Trees are budding and everything, and we know that winter is almost over with. Sometimes up here, we always get that late snow, but we know that summer's coming, right? The warmer weather, we see signs. And we'll see signs of things coming about, right? There's going to be signs that we should be watching for. Not necessary. We're not to stress about them. We're not to be afraid of them, but we're to be prepared for them. You know, becoming strong enough so that we could get through trials. You know, going through Jesus' glorious house of gains, right? So we could be strong enough in that nobody's even going to try to deceive us. You know, like, right? You know, tough. You're supposed to work out, be strong. So we need to know the truth so that we could be prepared. In 34 through 35, in 24. Kayla, can you read that? The end times, the great tribulations. You know, there's a lot of meat there, and I know if you were here when Buzz taught, there's a lot of things going on in Daniel and Revelations. And I don't have as much time to give it any justice this morning. But with that said, there's a couple of things I would like you to take away from today. Is that Jesus' word is true. You could count on it. Everything he said will come to pass. He loves you, and he will never leave you. Now, hold on to those facts when the sky grows pitch black. You'll hold on to those facts. And then plus, I don't want you to be scared about this or be frightened, but you need to know that you matter and your actions matter. Your actions matter. We can't just do what's right in our own mind. You know, our actions have consequences. You know, they could be good consequences or they could be bad consequences. And a just judge has every right to judge us, right? And Jesus has mercy, but a just judge has rights to, yeah, I mean, if we did something wrong, it's only fair that we have consequences. In Ephesians, so we turn to the right, Ephesians chapter 4, 1 through 3. Brendan, can you read that? Remember also that whether we want it or not, is our actions don't just affect us. They affect the people around us. You know, the people you care about, the people that you love, and they love you. And 1 John, so again to the right, 1 John 3:18. Where are we on the order? Cassie? Yeah. So walk in love, right? And let your actions show that, so that we could, get through this, right? Kalana. Kiana. I will screw up your name for years. I took a long time to learn Michelle. I just said, hey, would you like to end this in prayer? Oh, would you like to say a prayer?
Okay. Thank you, Lord, for letting us come to church, and thank you for letting us get something out of this lesson, and I hope that everyone has a safe drive.